Welcome to Financial Perspectives, the podcast. Join the team at Foster Group and our expert guests as we explore a variety of subjects that could impact your financial life. We will cover timely economic and financial market news, a wide range of personal financial planning ideas, and investment topics. Ultimately, we want to encourage educated optimism and do our best to provide valuable insights to help you navigate your financial journey with confidence. Please stick around at the end for important disclosure information. More information about Foster Group can be found in our ADV brochure at fostergrp.com.
Wow, markets have really been going up this year. It can't keep going up like this, can it? Says seemingly just about everybody we know. I recently heard this from a longtime client, along with a list of worrying things they were hearing in the media. It is a common sentiment when markets have been good and achieving new highs. I replied, well, tune in next week. That's exactly what we'll be talking about on Financial Perspectives. And here we are. There was a Mel Brooks movie released in 1977. I'm showing my age a bit here, titled High Anxiety. In this comedy, Brooks plays a psychologist who works with characters, including himself, who are all experiencing anxiety for one comical reason or another. At one point, Brooks's character, Dr. Richard Harpo Thorndike, breaks into song, and the climactic lyric is, "High anxiety, you win." Why the movie reference? Well, in my experience, when markets have had a very positive run-up, many investors start to get market high anxiety. While we have enjoyed and benefited from the positive returns, we are now anxious because of them. So why do we worry about market downturns as much as we do? You know, unlike Dr. Thorndike, I'm not a psychologist, but as an investor and financial advisor, it can be helpful to understand a little about why we humans feel the way we do, especially when it comes to fear or anxiety. Now, research from the field of evolutionary psychology offers reasons to believe that the oldest part of the human brain, the amygdala, is the evolutionary center behind our fight or flight response, and with it, the explanation of the appeal of catastrophizing or imagining the worst. The main job of the amygdala is to regulate emotions such as fear and aggression. In evolutionary psychology, the hypothesis is that humans had to develop a fight or flight response that erred on the side of maximizing survival. Nature rewarded actions that made reproduction of the species the top priority. Therefore, misapprehending a life-threatening event was the biggest mistake a human could make. This made our ancestors fearful, making flight and death minimization reactions paramount. The cost of being wrong for prehistorical humans was death. If the bush moved, it was likely a bird or a squirrel, but what about the unlikely event of it being a lion? The cost of being wrong was all or nothing, life or death. Now today, finding faults and talking about the cost of being wrong seems to always sound smarter and to gather the most attention. It also tends to incite our fear response. We live in a culture of critique about everything. Politics. In this last election cycle, do you remember anything said other than critique? Sports. What's wrong with your coach or your quarterback? The op-ed page in newspapers might as well be called the op-crit, because every editorial is a critique, a fault-finding exercise. And then there's the financial news. People can list any number of potential things that could derail the market. It's like a contest to find the most compelling reason to predict a market correction or crash. Winning in media of all forms today is gaining attention, not providing clarity or helpfulness, and certainly not optimism. So, while I'm not going to predict what the market is going to do next week or even next year, other than to be open for investors to buy and sell the shares of companies which are all motivated and making their best efforts to grow and to be profitable, I am going to offer a couple reasons for educated and rational optimism about the future, even from these market highs. The first is to simply look at market history and let that history reconnect your thoughts and feelings with educated optimism. The fact is that historically, market highs, peak values, have been followed sooner or later by even higher high points. As the saying goes, past performance is not a guarantee of future results, but past performance gives investors a rational basis for long-term optimism. In research done by Dimensional Fund Advisors, the S&P 500 was higher 1 year after notching a record high 81% of the time, and 86% of the time 5 years after that high. The same folks found that the average return for the U.S. total stock market the week after a new high was greater at 0.26% than the average return of all weeks, which came in at 0.22%. The bottom line from these researchers is that market peaks are not rational, evidence-based reasons for fear. Look at any graph of the global stock market performance or U.S. stock market performance, and the biggest takeaway is that the long-term trend is up and to the right, increasing in value over time. Have there been corrections, even significant pullbacks and bear markets? Certainly there have been, and there will be again. But there have not been complete and permanent collapses for the global or U.S. market. And this is where our amygdala's fear and flight response is overreacting, potentially working against us as long-term investors. Because there are voices in the media creating noise or rustling in the financial bushes, we feel that the possibility of a potential market correction means that we are facing a financial life or death decision. But everything in market history would say that's just not the case. In the worst cases, market downturns have been limited to temporary setbacks, short or long, shallow or deep, but something that in a few months or years turned out to be just another pause in the market's long-term march upwards. A second reason to resist the market high anxiety, and one that helps to explain why market highs today are often followed by new market highs in the days, weeks, and years to come, has to do with stock prices. Today's stock prices, the shares of companies that are bought and sold daily by millions of willing and informed investors, those prices reflect the public information available and the aggregation of all investors, including retail and professional, all their evaluations of the stock's future expected riskiness and the future expected return. Think about it for a minute. No one buys a stock at a price where their return expectation from that price going forward is negative. No, the prices paid by investors today reflect their and the market's long-term expectation of some higher value in the future, delivering a positive expected return. Now, every stock does not have the same expected return, but historically, the average annual return for stocks, the shares of all companies together, has been around 10%, just over 6% above the historical average annual rate of inflation. Even at all-time highs, prices still must reflect a positive expected return, or no one would be buying at that price. Instead, prices would adjust and fall to levels where the price represented a positive expected return and where there were both willing buyers and sellers. Now, this is referred to as market equilibrium, the price where the market matches up and clears all interested buyers and sellers. Price adjustments to new information are happening every minute of every day, and that is what causes these day-to-day price changes. We strongly believe that one key action you as an investor can take to make this non-anxious and optimistic longer-term view of the stock market your own is to get the right balance, the right asset allocation of stocks, bonds, and cash in your own portfolio. Consider constructing your portfolio so that it includes enough cash and bonds to fund your planned withdrawals for lifestyle and goals for the next 7 years or longer. Now, why? A study of global stock prices looking back over 100 years found that the longest market high to low to full recovery for a global equity portfolio was about 7 years. This specific worst case, not surprisingly, occurred in the 1930s during the Great Depression. For comparison, the Great Financial Crisis from 2007 to 2009 saw a high to low to full recovery period for the global stock market of about 5.5 years, October of 2007 through April of 2013. Planning for and building your portfolio to endure these kinds of worst cases can make it easier to keep high anxiety regarding the stock market from winning. Now, our encouragement today is to not let high anxiety, this fear of market peaks, defeat you. When anxiety wins, not only do we feel fearful and anxious, but we are more likely to take undisciplined and potentially damaging actions in our investment portfolios. For those dollars that our plan says need long-term stock market returns, the worst thing we can do is be out of the market while it is rising and interrupt the magic of compound growth. There will always be voices, noise, giving us reasons to worry. The market is at a high, it's too high, and certain to fall. If it's low, it's certain to go lower. Of course, neither conclusion is certain, but the critic, the pessimistic voices, know how to play to our old amygdalas. To win, we need to engage the rest of our brain and remind ourselves that educated optimism is a more productive and a more rational point of view, at least when it comes to markets. Tune out the market noisemakers. But if you're on safari in Africa and hear a rustling bush, you may want to play it safe and get away. We have two quotes for you today. The first comes from author Ray Bradbury, comparing critics and creators in his novel Fahrenheit 451. He wrote, "Those who don't build must burn." Bradbury warns that those who are not positively building and creating turn instead to criticizing and destroying. It's productive to pay more attention to the creators than the critics. The second relates to a signature theme for Financial Perspectives and comes from David Booth. Educated optimism is the antidote for anxious uncertainty. Thank you for joining us today. We hope it's been helpful, encouraging you towards a long-term educated and rational optimism. We think that's a healthy and helpful mindset, especially for investors. If there are other topics or questions that you'd like to have us bring to you, please let us know at the Foster Group website. That's fostergrp.com, or just search for Foster Group. Every AI I know can find us. And if this video or podcast has been helpful to you, you can help us spread the message of educated optimism by liking us on your podcast app, or you could simply forward this episode link to your friends and family. Either way, thanks again to all of you for listening or watching today.
The previous presentation by Foster Group was intended for general information purposes only. No portion of the presentation serves as the receipt of, or as a substitute for, personalized investment advice from Foster Group or any other investment professional of your choosing. Different types of investments involve varying degrees of risk, and it should not be assumed that future performance of any specific investment or investment strategy, or any non-investment related or planning services, discussion, or content, will be profitable, be suitable for your portfolio or individual situation, or prove successful. Foster Group is neither a law firm nor accounting firm, and no portion of its services should be construed as legal or accounting advice. No portion of the content should be construed by a client or prospective client as a guarantee that he or she will experience a certain level of results if Foster Group is engaged, or continues to be engaged, to provide investment advisory services. A copy of Foster Group's current written disclosure brochure discussing our advisory services and fees is available upon request or at www.fostergrp.com/disclosures.